Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. Steve, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and it's cold.
It is cold, and glad to have you back. I know last week you were doing Republican things, and so you're back with us this week, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about.
We do. First of all, the temperatures. I usually try to walk between 5:30 and 6:30, something in that range. Yesterday, it was 10 degrees out when I was walking, and I thought, well, it can't get any worse. This morning, it was 8 degrees, and so it did get worse. But, you know, the thing I think about is that since Joe Biden came into office, our utility prices are up by 25%, 25% for your electricity, and you're having to leave it running to offset this 8-degree temperature, and it doesn't warm up during the day. It gets to maybe 20, 25. That's still below freezing. Thanks to Joe Biden, families are going to be paying out hundreds of dollars that wouldn't have been paid out under President Trump. You're going to like it or dislike it, but the Democrat policies are making life miserable for the middle class. Overall, prices are up by 17.3%. The food prices are up by 20%. You're paying an extra dollar for every $5 that you spend. Rent is up almost 20%. And so people just can't make ends meet. And that's thanks to Joe Biden and the foolish spending that they have put into place. We've covered on previous shows how much of that stimulus money actually went over to China and to foreign corporations. What good is that doing Americans when we're outsourcing our jobs and outsourcing the dollars that are appropriated in Washington? It's just a miserable time.
To the cold temperatures, I saw a report. Both CBS News and NPR reported that people with electric cars are having trouble with the cold temperatures because it's taking, one, longer to charge the cars in the cold, and two, the batteries don't last as long when it's real cold outside.
Another thing, as we're talking about energy and the prices, I just want the listeners to get a load of this, that the Biden administration is sending $68 million to New Mexico to build electric vehicle charging stations. They want a whole network across the state. Right now, we've got something like 3 or 4% of the vehicles are electric, and you, the taxpayers, are going to spend $68 million to build these stations. It's going to end up exactly like the spaceport, exactly like that Richardson train that goes from Belen to Santa Fe.
Well, the rail runner,
You're going to have hundreds of millions of dollars spent on things that people don't use. Plus, the question is, who's going to run these stations? You're going to come out and you're going to build these stations for $68 million. Are those going to be private stations, or is the government going into business against the service stations that exist out there already? Are we giving a gift to corporations, or is the government getting into business? Either one is a bad and foolish policy, and the governor has not yet explained how that's going to work. But $68 million of your taxpayer dollars are going to go to build these charging stations that are essentially going to sit empty almost all of the time. Plus, who in the world is going to stop at Klein's Corners and charge their electric vehicle when it takes 3 or 4 hours? They better get a theme park at Vaughn and Klein's Corners, because people coming from southern end of the state, they're going to have a lot of time on their hands when they get 150, 200 miles down the road.
Well, now, even you aren't old enough to remember, but when Henry Ford came out with the Model T Ford, did the federal government have to subsidize gas stations, or did they pop up because people wanted them?
Yeah, the gas stations popped up when people started demanding them. Exactly. These electric charging stations would pop up if people were using them, but they're not. One study showed that people are only using them to drive to the golf course or to the country club or wherever. It's the rich people that can afford to waste money on these electric vehicles. The average working person, number one, can't afford them. But number two, they can't have a car that is that unstable, that is unpredictable. So just, again, know that if you want things to be different, then you're going to have to elect Republicans.
I noticed, and I'm sure our listeners noticed, that President Trump won the Iowa primary, and so he will go on to New Hampshire. Now, this brings up an interesting point. We talked a few weeks ago about people wanting to have open primaries in New Mexico, and you had made the point that you opposed that, and this is a good example why. Is because the Democrats don't have a primary. President Biden's their guy. So in New Hampshire, they could vote for any of the Republican candidates and maybe try to keep Trump off the ballot by voting, say, for Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis, even though they're not Republicans. And so you can see how, for our listeners, how that might not really be fair. And this is a problem we see with open primaries.
Yeah, it's a fad that moves across the nation. This open primary, the ranked choice voting, all of them are games that are played to really take away votes from conservatives. So I'll always oppose the open primary concept. In the states which do it, Louisiana has a jungle primary. You go out and everybody runs and you can vote any way you want to. They said, please don't ever do this in your state.
I see, too, that the courts are going to allow President Trump to be on the primary ballot in New Mexico.
Yes, the one Republican we again discussed that he hasn't been a Republican very long, and he certainly doesn't espouse Republican policies. He even recommends that you go out and attack some Republicans with the baseball bats. That's not hardly a Republican message, but it's his message, and you can go online and take a look at his past post on Twitter or X. You can see those communications to people. So he's the one that filed the suit, and the judge just summarily kicked it out. I just think he was a Democrat plant all along, again, trying to influence the Republican votes.
As we record this, the governor has just given her state of the state. And from both Democrats and Republicans I'm talking to, better hold on to your guns because they're coming after him in New Mexico.
The Santa Fe New Mexican ran a poll, and to their credit, it was pretty sound. It said that the things that people mostly wanted to take care of that they were most concerned about was, number one, protecting the Second Amendment, number two, crime, health care, roads, education, mental health, staffing for small businesses, which indicates that people know that there are workers out there. They just won't take the jobs. And then they're worried about the homeless problem. But instead, our governor has said that she's going to come right after the guns. Now, I praise, and you're going to get to hear Senator Greg Baca. He's the Senate Republican leader. But to his credit, when the governor announced her attack on the Second Amendment, he said that the measures that target New Mexico gun owners who only protect themselves is just a hyper-partisan attack from the governor. He said if they would do what they need to on crime and keeping criminals in jail, that we would have far less danger in our society today. But, you know, there was an article that came out that was talking about the system of incarceration in New Mexico. And this AlbuquerqueRaw.com posted the opinion piece that says that convicted criminal felons may only have to serve a quarter of their full sentence because the felon finds a way to make the sentence go away with good time. Well, that's not exactly the way to protect people and getting them convicted of a crime. And they know they may only spend days in jail instead of years in jail. And so, again, the solution is clear. Republicans stand for holding criminals accountable for their actions and keeping them incarcerated until the full time of their sentence has passed. And Democrats just basically for the last several years have made it easier on criminals and harder on victims. So we continue to make the statement to make a change. You're going to have to change the way you vote.
In just a moment, I will have a conversation with Senator Greg Baca from District 29 in New Mexico. I hope you'll stay with us on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. With me on the telephone is our state senator from District 29, Greg Baca. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you today?
Doing well, too, and I appreciate you calling in, and we wanted to talk to you about the legislative session.
Sounds good. I guess I can just start generally with what this session will involve. It's a 30-day session, which will primarily revolve around our state's budget, which in the past year has been robust, to say the least. And so we'll be looking at where the New Mexicans' money will be spent and how it will be spent.
Tell our listeners where most of this surplus money is coming from.
Well, it's coming from our coffers under the ground. It's coming from oil and gas companies that continue to drill in our state and provide us with much-needed revenue through our severance tax.
I saw something like 44% of our budget is coming from oil and gas now?
I don't know the exact percentage, but that's accurate. I would say it's close to half of every dollar that this state gets. And so looking at that, we can say that we're blessed and lucky in this state of New Mexico to have such a resource with us.
Yeah, the budget will be over $10 billion this year.
Which, you know, in my opinion, is just jaw-dropping. I've been in the legislature now going on my eighth year. When I first reported there, our budget was somewhere in the mid-$5 billion. So in just that short time, we've close to doubled that number, which, in our opinion, is not sustainable. But under this administration, the spending continues.
Well, one of the concerns is that this administration likes to spend the money they get from oil and gas, but yet they put together bills to try and get rid of oil and gas. And so if you have recurring expenses and you get rid of the oil and gas, where does the money then come from?
You know, that's a good question. It's a question that gets asked every time we're doing the budget, every single year I've been there, while these nonsensical bills get introduced. How do we responsibly manage this state if we can't replace the revenue that we're so eager to expend on all of these programs and whatnot that continue to grow over the years?
And let's say that we did just stop drilling oil down in the Permian Basin. It doesn't really get rid of their environmental concerns because they'll just drill it on the Texas side.
That's true. But even with that, we have in this state stringent regulations and very responsible operators. The people that operate in this state are some of the cleanest, most environmentally conscious corporations in that industry. We've seen that they comply with every request the state puts out at great expense to themselves, all the while being innovative in the ways they're able to extract with the least amount of impact to the environment. And so, as you said, I feel like the overall benefit to that industry far outweighs any sort of concern we might have there, and the benefit it gives us in terms of dollars, which we fund everything from education to many entitlement programs, really is beneficial to this state. It's almost hypocritical to do those sorts of things.
Even though this 30-day session is supposed to be about the budget, the governor can add things. And one of the things she wants to do, it seems like, violate our Second Amendment rights by putting restrictions on firearms.
That's correct. And I'm going to step back for just a minute because I like to tell people that there are solutions. I don't just like to point out the problems. We believe that the tax revenue should go back in the form of rebates to the people that have earned the money and that they can best spend the money in this state. And that would promote business growth. And so that's what we would like. As to the other concerns, sure, we have the Second Amendment concerns and we expect those to come forward. What we've seen from the executive so far is them pronouncing that they want restrictions on those sorts of guns and things that really just apply to law-abiding citizens. What we would rather see is an emphasis on the criminal and keeping people who are dangerous in jail and away from those weapons. And those are things that would truly address crime rather than punishing the innocent and disarming the public, preventing them from protecting themselves and their families.
Yeah, there seems to be a real different viewpoint from each side of the aisle on what to do about crime, and cities that have less crime seem to have their criminals in jail.
And I would point out the policies that are in place right now have been enacted by largely a Democrat legislature and a Democrat governor. So the result that we see, which is some of the highest crime rates in the country, are coming from the ideas that they're putting forward. If you continue to do the same thing over and over and expect something different, we all know what that is. That is just a definition of insanity and really nonsensical to people. We need to take new approaches that have proven to work across the country, which are things like being tougher on the criminal, restricting their movements, restricting what they can access, rather than taking the citizen out there who's following the law and forcing them to either disarm themselves or making them criminals in the process if they refuse to do so. We have alternative ideas to put forward, just as we have in the past. I can tell you, as a Senate Republican leader, we joined forces with RP&M and with the House representatives in a lawsuit that just transpired this past week to try and restrict some of those draconian powers being exercised by the executive in the form of the public health order, which in this last few months, we've seen her try to use to disarm citizens and violate their Second Amendment rights. And so we're going to be looking at those things. We're going to be, of course, stepping forward with other solutions that we've spoke about already here. And hopefully common sense will prevail and the will of the legislature will be to enact some of these good ideas that can help New Mexicans and deter crime and really just bring a more prosperous state to fruition.
This board the governor put together that decided that we have to have a certain amount of electric cars sold in New Mexico by a certain date. Even some Democrats in the legislature are upset about that, because why do we need an unelected board to do that when that's what you're supposed to do?
That's exactly right. You know, I think that statewide, this is a very unpopular idea. If you choose to drive an electric vehicle, I think that's great. You should have that right to do so. But let's not forget, overall, the cost of those vehicles is far outweighs those of traditional vehicles, and yet another load for the average New Mexican family to carry in the form of car payments or what have you. And so putting those kinds of measures in place, it has an expense. And unfortunately, that expense must be borne by the citizens of New Mexico. So you can expect that we'll be pushing back on some of those ideas as well.
It won't be in time for the legislative session this year, but in November, there's an election. We can change the direction of the state that way.
That's certainly true. Come election time, every seat will be up for grabs in the legislature. I can tell you that can drastically change the direction of our state. I would call on the voters to look around you and ask yourself, can we improve? I think that the answer that you would have to give yourself would be yes. And the answer to doing that is to turn over that legislature and bring in some new and fresh ideas rather than the same regurgitated ideas that have followed us around for almost a century under Democratic rule there. So we'll look to the public to help us to help you and help us to create a better state for ourselves and our children.
I've been talking with Senator Greg Baca of District 29 in New Mexico. Senator, thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Steve Pierce and I will be back with more in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. As I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, the governor is using a health order to restrict gun use in Bernalillo County and Albuquerque, and you have filed a lawsuit against her using health orders to violate the United States Constitution. Can you give us an update on how that's going?
Sure. Again, just to remind our listeners that when the governor made her statement that the Constitution really didn't apply to her, that she could take guns away from anybody that she wanted to, that the Constitution was never intended to be a permanent thing and not apply in all situations. And so she took the liberty of restricting gun possession in certain zones in Albuquerque. She was sued by many different groups. But what she did is deftly made one or two word changes and made all those lawsuits void. But what we had done is taken the time to file a lawsuit against the governor's use of the public health order. And so ours, yes, it took on the attack on the Second Amendment, but it plowed deeper into the ground saying that the governor doesn't have the right to use a public health order. So I want you to listen to the questioning from the Supreme Court justices. They just heard this case on the 8th of January, so kicking off the new year with an important decision. They haven't yet told the public what they're going to decide, but listen to the questions and you get a sense that even these Democrat justices are worried about the powers that the governor is trying to give herself.
Where do we draw that line?
Sure.
That's my overarching
my question. It's a great question, and I don't know where. It's not a bright line test, and I think that's the hard part. That's the hard part for you all, right? Because it's not a bright line test.
And if there is no bright line, is this non-delegation or is this a political question?
I think it's a political question. And if there's not a bright line, but here's what I can say. I know we're on this side of it. I know we're on the correct side of it so far. I don't disagree that this court could put guardrails or could talk about where a line might end. Actually, in one of the COVID cases, the Tenth Circuit Go ahead, Justice.
But it's not us putting anything on anything. It's what is the language of the statute. So the language of the statute says the occurrence or imminent threat or exposure to an extremely dangerous condition and something that poses an imminent threat of substantial harm. Those are the guidelines.
Those are the guidelines.
I mean, it's got to be an imminent threat or exposure to an extremely dangerous condition. Now,
so I really still want an answer to my question, though, which is, what are the boundaries?
Those are the boundaries in the statute.
What's your answer? Are the boundaries in the statute.
Yes.
I think that's too glib a response. And let me explain why. I came up with a hypothetical in my own head about this, of course, which is DUI. No question, a really significant problem in the state of New Mexico. Could the governor suspend the ability of New Mexicans to drive in San Juan County or McKinley County because of that emergency? And so it goes a little bit to what the senior justice is talking about, but I can conceive of almost anything being a public health emergency if I adopt your client's perspective, and maybe that's what the legislature did. There seems to me there has to be some tether here, and that's what I would.
So even MSN.com has an article talking about the justices going to hear this challenge to the public health order that banned guns. And so even Democrats are thinking that she's gone too far. The governor's press conference again this week, she continues to say that she's going to try to take away guns. That's one of the things that polls the highest in our polls and in the Santa Fe, New Mexican poll, that people are worried about her trying to do that. Yet she's pursuing that hard line agenda right into this legislative session that is kicking off this same day that we're recording on the 16th of January. It'll be going for 30 days. So hold on, folks. We're going to have a lot of updates through that session. But right now, looking like a total assault on your freedoms and your rights, and almost nothing that punishes criminals. Now, Representative Rod Montoya from San Juan County just wants to make clear to the public, and so he put out a press release earlier this week saying, let's make sure the credit goes where it belongs, and that's the Republicans. He said Republican legislators have been introducing crime bills for years, and the Democrats have blocked them and bottled them up in committee, deep sixed them, put them underwater where they drown. And now then, suddenly, because the public is giving an outcry about the crime that is just taking over the state, now the Democrats are going to come in and try to whitewash their record. I don't think the public is buying this. I think the public knows they've been in charge of the state for over 90 years. I think the public understands that Democrats are going to vote for stuff, but they're never going to enforce it. Remember that George Soros, he's the radical that has helped collapse several economies in the entire world and is attempting to do that to the U.S. economy. He would like for the dollar to fail. He's one of the main funders for the Democrat Party, and he has funded for Democrat attorneys general to be elected across the nation with the understanding that they would not prosecute radical left ideas, they wouldn't prosecute Democrats. And so even if the law is changed to hold criminals more accountable, you still have to worry that the attorney general would actually file the case or that local DAs would file the case. You just don't get to go to court. An actual DA has to carry it into court. So again, a lot of questions as we're moving into this session on the real commitment of Democrats to prosecute criminals. Derek, we're closing the program out all the way through Election Day. I think we're going to close it the same way. And that's to remind the public the difference between Democrats and Republicans. It's the leaders of the Democrat Party who want to open our southern border, allowing terrorists, criminals, illegal drugs, including fentanyl, to flood into our country and kill Americans. It's Democrats who want to defund the police. It's Democrat prosecutors who refuse to arrest and jail people who only steal $900. And it's Democrats who have declared war on fossil fuels. And that war has created sky-high gas prices. It's Democrats' out-of-control government spending that has led to high inflation. It's Democrats' out-of-control government spending that is also leading to the high interest rates. It's Democrats who insist boys and men have the right to participate in girls' and women's sports. And it's the Democrats who insist that teenage boys and men can use the bathrooms and showers of teenage girls and women. So know that it's Republicans who are opposed to every single one of these points. If you're out there and wondering how to vote, that's probably the beginning discussion on who do you agree with. Do you agree with all of those things? And then finally, if we're going to add one more, the president of Harvard indicated exactly how far left that the Democrat Party is. She refused to condemn calls on her campus to drive the nation of Israel across the river and into the sea. That means annihilate Israelis. And so the unspoken part of her comment was that she would also not condemn terrorist acts. And so that's where the Democrat Party is today. I'm urging people to think about these things as we go into the election, to understand that elections have consequences, and we're going to have clear choices this time, all the way from the top to the bottom. Now, you've got Gabe Vasquez, who is enabling the border crisis. You've got Senator Heinrich is also running for re-election. He's moved his family into Maryland, doesn't want to be burdened with being here in New Mexico. He didn't grow up here. He wasn't born here. Simply moved here, ran for a couple of lower level positions, then went to Congress and then to the U.S. Senate. And now he's moved back out of the state because he was never a part of New Mexico. So those are the people on the ballot for the Democrats. Watch for the Republicans. We've got good candidates running. But again, Derek, here's wishing people the opportunity to stay warm and be healthy. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. And if you've been listening to us and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, there are several ways to do that. Check out their website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and an X account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you'd like to speak to someone in person, you may call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. Thanks to all the radio stations around the state for broadcasting inside New Mexico. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. Looking forward to meeting with you again at this time next week on Inside New Mexico.